precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible, the prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord, blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come, exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon said some time ago that he accepts a Palestinian state in the framework of a permanent agreement. There is no alternative, he said, other than the establishment of such an entity. Regarding the future of Jewish communities in Yisha, that's in the area of Judea, Samaria, and Gaza, the prime minister had said that the topic would be a matter for negotiations. When running for prime minister against Ehud Barak, Sharon had told Arutz 7 in no uncertain terms, quote, no community in Isha will be dismantled. Well, as fond of a feeling as I have for Ariel Sharon and for what he stands for as a leader in Israel, I consider him like the Douglas MacArthur of Israel, in my humble opinion, I do. And despite that, I believe he's being pressured from the political realm to be kind of soft about this thing. Now, he knows better, and anybody that is aware of the biblical declarations regarding the land of Israel, that they have no right to give up that land to anybody. I've stated time and time again, and will continue to do so by the grace of God, that the land doesn't belong to anybody but the Jewish people. God gave that land to them, and actually is the property of God himself. And they don't have a right to give it up. So it disturbs me when they start talking like this, but I know it's politics. But the bottom line is there will be no solution to the so-called Palestinian problem until such time as the Palestinians, as they're called today, will assimilate back into the countries from whence they came, be it Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia. This is where they came from, and the countries, their mother tongue countries, have a moral obligation, a biblical mandate to receive them back into their countries. End of problem. And until they do that, they will have this problem as a thorn in their side until Messiah comes back again. And then he'll solve the problem. Yes, it's sad. Again, I don't mean to not have compassion upon the plight of the refugees who are now called Palestinians, for their plight is a miserable plight. But they have nobody to blame but the countries that came out of. Those are the countries that need to assimilate them back in there. I wonder why, when you think of the country of Jordan, which is basically a modernized country, why, I believe, if my statistics are right, about a third of the Jordanians are professed Palestinians. Why don't they just open up the country to the Palestinians? You know why they don't? Because they're afraid of them. Historically, wherever the Palestinians have taken root, they've caused a lot of upheaval, government upheaval, and they are not wanted as guests. And it's sad. But that's to blame the government apparatus of the Palestinians who seek money and control over the well-being of their people for the purpose of becoming famous in the Middle East. And actually, it goes far deeper than that. History will prove out to be true that the Palestinians are only a pawn in the hands of the big power brokers of the Middle Eastern countries, the Arab Middle Eastern countries, who could care less about the Palestinian people and their plight. They want to use them as a pawn in order to get the Jews and drown them into the Mediterranean Sea. That has always been their desire. So you say, oh, you just made that up, Dr. Freed. No, I didn't make it up. I quoted it from their own mouth. From the horse's mouth, I quoted it. And that's their intention. And that's what they're broadcasting throughout all, the majority of their news media. This is the truth. Now, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, many are throughout the world. Are you willing to be lied to, brainwashed? Isn't it high time you get your head out of the sand and realize that they are selling you a bill of goods that are no good for you? What you need to do is flee to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the Word of God, and not depend upon a religion or a political system that has deprived you of soul liberty, liberty of conscience. And you will suffer persecution for following the right way, but that would make you going in the direction of God's will. And if I can encourage those who are believers in Christ the Messiah in some of these foreign lands that hear this broadcast, God does say, if God be for you, who can be against you? And with much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. Another news item, thereby proving that higher education does not necessarily make you smarter. This is an article about some of the anti-Semitic trends occurring. Harvard University almost became the latest American institution of higher learning to become a forum for anti-Semitic and anti-Israel views. which is, to me, astounding when you think of Harvard, Yale, and some of these big-time colleges of higher learning used to be seminaries. That's right. They used to train preachers of the gospel who to love the Jew and to stand for the Jew and for Israel. Now, they're being used by the devil and the enemies of Israel, enemies of God, to undermine the well-being of Israel. Its English department invited Tom Perlin, an Oxford poet who had called for the slaughter of American Jews living in Judea and Samaria, to deliver an important lecture. Perlin told the Egyptian weekly Al Haram what he thinks of those he described as, quote, Brooklyn-born Jewish settlers. He said they should be shot dead. He said, I think they are Nazis, racists. I feel nothing but hatred for them. I can understand, he said, how suicide bombers feel. I think attacks on civilians, in fact, boost morale. Pauline has written poems such as Killed in Crossfire, in which he suggests that the Zionist SS deliberately gunned down little Palestinian boys. It was abruptly announced that the lecture was, in fact, canceled. Well, I can thank God for that it was canceled. Because they'd get the wrath of God if they let that thing continue. The above incident is the latest of several leading many to believe that North American college campuses are growing increasingly anti-Semitic. The University of Michigan at Ann Arbor hosted an anti-Zionist pro-Palestinian national student conference last month. And that was last month during the time this article is reported. An angry crowd of Arabs and their sympathizers surrounded a group of 50 Jews at San Francisco State University and threatened them with violence until an armed police guard escorted them out safely. Hundreds of pro-PLO demonstrators forced the cancellation of a talk by Benjamin Netanyahu at Concordia University in Montreal. Their methods included tossing chairs at police, breaking lobby windows, and physically threatening Jews who came to hear the talk. A speaker at a meeting co-hosted by Fortune magazine and a Sordia-backed foundation this week, during that time period, defended his newspaper's description of pro-Israel lobby as subhuman. Fortune, a New York-based magazine that is a subsidiary of AOL, Time Warner, sponsored this symposium with the Arab Thought Foundation, a group funded with at least $17 million from Saudi royalty and prominent Arab businessmen, including $1.5 million from Bakr bin Laden, the estranged brother of Osama bin Laden. Critics have argued that the Arab Thought Foundation is part of Saudi Arabia's attempt to rehabilitate its image in the wake of September 11th without carrying out genuine reforms. The kingdom has embarked on a multi-million dollar public relations campaign in America. Speakers at the symposium included Americans' ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Robert Jordan, a former Republican nominee for vice president, Jack Kemp, prominent Arab business leader. The event was opened by Geoff Colvin, Fortune magazine's editorial director, and by Prince Bandar Ben Khalid Al-Faisal, the son of Prince Khalid Al-Faisal, the governor of Saudi Arabia's Asr region, the editor of the Saudi-based Arab News, a newspaper that has published a cartoon of President Bush morphing into Hitler, and also published despairing remarks about Jews. Khalid Al-Ma'ina was a speaker. He defended his newspaper's publishing of a recent article that referred to the quote-unquote subhuman Zionist lobby. The Zionist lobby is a lobby that is working against the interests of peace in the Middle East. It is working against the interests interests of Israel and against the interests of the Palestinians. Al Maidna told the New York Sun. Continue to say, the Zionist lobby is negating all the good characteristics of the Israeli people, he said. When the Sun asked if that makes them subhuman, he said, as a human being, your interest should be peace and prosperity in Israel and in all the lands. He said, I believe there should be peace in the Middle East, but to go on and create problems and trouble is really upsetting me, he said. Israel was made so that the Jews would live in peace. Jews everywhere around the world are living in peace, except in Israel. Well, that's not true when you consider the worldwide anti-Semitic surge in the world. And my question to him is, what constitutes Israel? According to the majority of the Arab countries, Arab-led countries, Israel's not even on the map. Thank you to Ted Zamach for the news items. Now, according to the Associated Press, their spin on Hebron, the following is a report from Honest Reporting. Kofi Annan called it a despicable terrorist attack. The Pope called it a vile attack. The U.S. State Department called it a heinous crime. The Associated Press was far less sympathetic. In a report that went out to 6,500 news agencies worldwide and was reproduced in the Washington Post, MSNBC.com, and hundreds of other media, AP's Jason Kessler characterized the city of Hebron as follows. Now, let me add the fact that this was when there was that massacre in Hebron some time ago. Quote now from the AP, Hebron, to the south of Jerusalem, has long been a volatile place filled with religious and political tensions. Muslims here are among the most devout, and the Jewish settlers among the most radical, he said. What is the source for Kessler's biased assertion? Perhaps the city's Muslims, who had just massacred 12 Jews, are the most radical, and the Jews of Hebron, who are perpetrating a Jewish presence in Judaism's second holiest city, are the most devout. So you've always asked, I like to have proof that the media is against Israel and always sides with the Palestinians. Well, I've just read to you an example of that. As I continue, AP's Kessler then comes up with this adaptation of history. He says in 1994, Jewish settler Baruch Goldstein shot dead 29 Muslim worshippers before being beaten to death. Damascus sparked riots that lasted for days and helped spawn the phenomena of suicide bombings against Israel. Did you hear what I've just quoted from? The blame for hundreds of Palestinian suicide bombings, termed by Human Rights Watch as a crime against humanity, lies with a Jew. And that's the strong conclusion you come to when you read what Associated Press journalist Jason Kessler said regarding the Hebron episode of a great massacre. I'll tell you what, it just turns my stomach. It just turns my stomach. File 3. Here's an interesting article by Jack Kemp, who generally has been very pro-Israel and understands the truth of the conflict going on in the Middle East. He wrote regarding the Palestinian victims. He said, what hasn't changed is that from its very beginning, Israel has been willing to live within secure borders side by side with an Arab state that reciprocated in its recognition of Israel. What's different is the rationale of Arab regimes still hostile to a Jewish state for why that's not possible. The victims of the Middle East conflict are not just the Israelis who have been fighting a 50-year war of survival against hostile Arab states. The victims are also Arabs and Christians living in the territory under the British mandate at the end of World War II and today, now commonly referred to as the Palestinian people, who have been oppressed, manipulated, and betrayed by radical Arab countries, including their own Palestinian leaders, particularly Yasser Arafat, who happens to be Egyptian. In 1947, Jews living in the region agreed to a UN proposal to establish an Arab state alongside and interspersed with a Jewish state. Arabs, however, would not tolerate a Jewish state, nor would they allow the Arabs in the region to have their own state because it would violate the Arab Covenant of 1919. The Arab lands are complete and indivisible whole, and the divisions of whatever nature to which they have been subjected are not approved nor recognized by the Arab nation. In 1948, five Arab nations invaded the newly declared state of Israel. And Jordan took over the West Bank, and Egypt took over the Gaza Strip. And for the next 19 years, they controlled this territory, yet never lifted a finger to give the Palestinian people their state. Arab regimes also refused to allow Arab refugees from Israel to become citizens of their respective states and herded them into refugee camps. Really, Palestinian ghettos, where they were stripped of their dignity, deprived of every opportunity to prosper, and made to believe that world Jewry was to blame. Historian Joan Peters shows in his book From Time Immemorial how the Palestinian people were used as pawns by the Arab world. She quotes Jordan's late King Hussein. Arab leaders have used the Palestine people for selfish political purposes. This is ridiculous, even criminal. She goes on to quote from Syria's former Prime Minister Khalid al-Aksum. Since 1948, it is we, he said, who demanded the return of the refugees, while it is we who made them leave. We brought disaster upon Arab refugees. We have rendered them dispossessed. We have accustomed them to begging. We have participated in lowering their moral and social level. Then we exploited them in executing crimes of murder, arson, and throwing bombs upon men, women, and children. All this in the service of political purposes. During 1967 war, Israel took control of the West Bank, Gaza, and all of Jerusalem. Thereafter, according to Peters, the Arab world abandoned its insistence on one Arabia, whole and undivided, and began to blame the Palestinian refugee problem on Israel. Only then did it concoct the convenient myth of a separate Palestinian people with legitimate aspirations, who are emotionally tied to a plot of land historically identifiable as the homeland of a people that supposedly existed there. Zuhair Mushin, a member of the PLO's executive council, admitted to the Palestinian myth. He said the existence of a separate Palestinian identity serves only tactical purposes. The founding of a Palestinian state is a tool in the continuing battle against Israel. This fact was confirmed in 1970 when King Hussein killed thousands of Palestinians to prevent Arafat from establishing a Palestinian state in Jordan. Well, if you wanted to know the facts of what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on throughout the world regarding the Jewish question, whether they should exist or not, you've come to the right place. Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast. That's right. We're for the Jew. No mistake about that. But we're also for anybody who's searching after the truth, wants to know what life is all about. Now, we want you to stay with us for the next half an hour. We got some good stuff coming your way. You don't want to leave at this critical point. So stay tuned. Buckle your seat. And be ready for some good information from Hope Israel Baptist Broadcast. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. I'm so glad you're staying with us for the last half of this broadcast. And we continue on our series on who is a Jew. What qualifies you for being classified as a Jew? And in terms of what the Bible says, there are a lot of Jews that are Jewish outwardly or by the bloodline. but spiritually they would be disqualified. Now, I'm going to quote from some more scripture, holy scriptures, the oracles of God, and commonly known to the Jewish people as the Tanakh. I will also get into the New Covenant to see what it has to say. But we see that the emphasis about being a Jew, a Hebrew Israelite, was God's desire to have a people unto his name that would glorify him, would be the representative nation, an example to all nations of the world, and that the circumcision of the flesh was the token of the Abrahamic covenant. But it symbolized more than just the physical relationship. It symbolized the spiritual relationship between God's people. And the emphasis is that the Hebrew, Israeli, Jewish, basically all three terms have become synonymous in these days, that God's interested more in the circumcised heart than he is even looking for the circumcising of the flesh. Now, for the Jew, both are important. They both have important ramifications. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings." So God is clearly telling the Jewish people they need to circumcise their heart, and that is spiritually to forsake their wicked way and to return back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, back to the Bible, back to the Messiah, and back to the will of God for Israel. Today, Israel is steeped in self-righteousness, in worldliness. Not everybody there in Israel is, but the majority of the Jews throughout the world are uninterested in the things of God. In fact, I read some statistics saying that in America, over 70% of the Jews don't even go to a synagogue regularly, and that only 10% of the Jews worldwide collectively are even religious in the sense of Orthodox Judaism of today. Most Jews are secular. And many Jews could care less about the God of Abraham. Judaism to them is simply a tradition, a culture, but religiously speaking, they have no interest in it. But God says that it is important to circumcise the foreskin of their heart. And if we do not, God says that his fury is going to come forth like fire. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." You claim to be a Jew physically. I do not deny it. If your father was a full-blooded Jew, then you're a full-blooded Jew. Now, but what is more important to God is whether you are circumcised of heart. Here God says you need to be also circumcised by the ear. And I'll tell you one thing, circumcision of the ear is that we turn ourselves from, repent of, the wicked things that are entering into our ears and causing us to pervert judgment and causing us to pervert the ways of righteousness. And all throughout many years, the Jewish people have been listening to lies from the modernistic rabbis of today saying that Jesus was not the Messiah. But what they need to do is circumcise their ears today, and even they can listen to some of the old-time sages during the days of Christ and even before Christ ever came to this earth. And they would see that there was going to be a suffering Savior, that the Messiah was to suffer and to give his life a ransom for many, and that the next time around, at his second coming, he was to reign as king. But because of uncircumcised ears, they are unwilling to listen. You say to me that you are unable to receive what I'm saying to you. I'm simply telling you what the Bible says. This is not only true for the Jews, it's true for everybody. Most of the time when I'm conversing or making dialogue with some religious Jews, not all the time, but many times, I ask them a question and they'll say, well, I need to ask my rabbi, see what he has to say about it. Well, what about the rabbi is wrong? In fact, there's been many times in the history of the Jews where those who were their teachers, even the prophets, were leading God's people astray. Isaiah chapter 6 in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, commonly known today among many, the Old Testament, that he said that God had given him instruction, this prophet Isaiah, and he said to him, verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. God had already predicted that the nation of Israel would want to have their ears tickled by false teachers, and they would not receive the truth. They would not receive the truth about the first coming of the Messiah. He's already come 2,000 years ago, and many, many Jews, the majority of Jews today, are not even interested in the prophecies about the Messiah. But I am glad to report that there are thousands of Jewish people around the world who are opening up their hearts to the Word of God pertaining to the Messiahship of Jesus. But the only way you're going to come to that understanding and have the veil of Moses removed off your eyes is by being willing to turn to the Scriptures. Therein lies the truth. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25, the Bible says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Today, we see that come into play, even in the nation of Israel. We have circumcised with uncircumcised. This is both in the physical term as well as the physical term. In Israel, I've lived in Israel, and I can testify that it's a godless country. I mean, it's godless. It's worldly. And many of you Israelis that are listening to me would agree that most Israelis have no inclination to studying the Bible or reading it for themselves. They are smacking against the heritage of their forefathers. And if you're wondering why you're suffering like you are, one of the main reasons is this is God's way of forcing you to come back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and recognize who the Messiah is. Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the Messiah. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. All you have to do is search the Scriptures, and they testify of him. That's exactly right. All you have to do is go back to the Bible, and the Bible will declare its truth. Well, you say, well, there's many interpretations of the Bible. No, that's a lie. That's a lie straight out of hell. There's only one interpretation of the Bible, and only the ones that can understand the interpretation of the Bible are those who seek the Lord with all their heart. And those who seek the Lord with all their heart, and those who fear the Lord always, God will reveal to them the secrets of God. That's right. You don't have to be a scholar to know and understand the Bible. What you have to know, what you have to do is come to God with all your heart and say, Lord, I want to know the truth, and I will not stop until I come to know the truth. Jesus says that if you come to the truth will make you free, and you'll be free indeed. You'll definitely be free from false teachings of the rabbis. Not all rabbis have taught falsehood, but the majority of them today are teaching a modernistic Judaism that has departed from the classic Judaism of our forefathers. If we want Israel to get back into favor in the eyes of God, we're going to have to repent as a Jewish nation. Why else would God allow all the sufferings we're experiencing now in the nation of Israel? You think that God relishes, that he delights in the sufferings of his people? You think he likes the suicide bombers to come in? Don't you believe that God has the power to stop all that? Yes, he does. But is there a reason? Have you asked yourself, is there a reason why God is allowing all this? Surely, the God who loves Israel with an everlasting love would not allow this to happen to his people unless he was provoking them to consider they have departed from the ways of God. Listen, I am a Jew speaking to Jews. And if you're not a Jew, it's good for you too. But Isaiah, the prophet in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, this is what he had to say by inspiration of God. This is what God told Isaiah to write down. He said, Hear, O heavens, chapter 1, verse 2, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. This is what God is saying about Israel. This is not coming out of the Quran. It's coming out from the Bible that the Jews hold dear as being the oracles of God. Even the prophets, Israelites who kill their own prophets. He goes on to say, Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. God's speaking about Israel now. Spiritually, they are desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Of course, this has happened even literally many times. Jerusalem has been burnt to the ground because Israel has forsaken the living God. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Of course, we know as the prophet Isaiah gave forth this at Babylon, was to destroy Jerusalem, and did. And Isaiah is prophesying the spiritual and physical condition of Israel in his day. This, of course, was prophesied 700-something years before Christ's first coming. And he said in verse 8, And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Now, here's the good news. See, now, if I would just stop reading there, the anti-Semitic, the Jew hater, would just love to quote from the Bible and say, see, that's why we need to kill the Jews. But what they don't realize is that this is God chastening Israel, and Israel is God's people, his chosen people, his people of old, and he's dealing with them as you would deal with a child. But God loves his people. And he doesn't want them to be destroyed totally, utterly. And he says in verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the Lord of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to dread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. God says he hates your sabbaths. He hates your holy days. How about that? What are you going to say about that? He hates it because you're doing it in hypocrisy. You're not doing it with the full heart. You're just doing it as a ritual, a form of self-righteous religious rituals. You're sanctimonious. You're not doing it with the heart. You don't love God. You're not worshiping God. You're not trying to follow the word of God. And he says, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Your hands are full of blood. Here, the multitude of Jewish people standing at the wailing wall day after day, praying, hoping, weeping, wailing. And God says that he don't even listen to the prayers. Because for the most part, it is just a vain religion. But God wants you to return back to the word of God and recognize that the few Jewish people have not claimed the true atonement for their soul, the blood atonement. They have not received Yeshua HaMashiach as their blood atonement. And until they do so, God will not listen to their prayers. Now you're going to say God don't listen to the prayers of Jews. I didn't say that. I said God will not listen to the prayer of anyone, whether it's a Jew or a Gentile, if it's not the prayer of faith in the Messiah. And it has to be according to the Bible now, not your preconceived notion of who the Messiah is, but what the Bible says the Messiah was going to be. It's clearly mentioned in Isaiah chapter 53. You ought to read it sometime, and you tell me who it's referring to. Rabbis will say it's referring to Isaiah. But Isaiah said, no, it couldn't be referring to him because he said he was a man of unclean lips. It couldn't be referring to Israel because I just read to you that God says Israel spiritually is like Sodom and Gomorrah. They're wicked. Only one time in the whole Tanakh is a phraseology, my righteous servant, mentioned. There's only one person who ever could qualify as a righteous servant. It's the Mashiach. And the Bible says that the scepter will not depart. The scepter and the Lord give will not depart out of Judah until Shiloh come. Shiloh being the Messiah. Well, the scepter has already departed and did depart more than 2,000 years ago. A lawgiver has departed over 2,000 years ago. And therefore the Messiah, Shiloh, has already come. Look, that's a prophecy that all the old-time rabbis recognized. What is the answer? The answer is what Isaiah said to do. He said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. He said, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But, the Bible says, verse 20, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. Sound familiar? Are you not being devoured with the sword today? For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Well, indeed, a sad commentary on the condition, the spiritual condition of Israel. Are you really a true Jew? You can only be a true Jew if your heart and ears have been circumcised. According to the Jewish Talmud Sanhedrin 97a, the Tana Debi Elihu teaches the world is to exist 6,000 years. In the first 2,000, there was desolation. 2,000 years, the Torah flourished. And the next 2,000 years is the Messianic era. But through our many iniquities, all these years have been lost. He should have come at the beginning of the last 2,000 years. The delay is due to our sins. Now, this is what the Talmud says. But the good news is, folks, he has come, and he's been around, and he came the first time 2,000 years ago, but Israel as a whole did not recognize him. But today, you can receive him as your Messiah, as your Lord and Savior. You can, but you're going to have to receive him by faith.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heavens.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.